brother. And maybe just as a reminder, last week we agreed that one of the things that we will do, what we need to do, is to reflect on our ministry. But unfortunately, there's a standing practice in Parliament which really impacts on our work, insofar as matters are concerned. Because after the committee meeting, they must go somewhere, they must then edit it, and somebody must approve, sign them off. It's only then minutes can be available for members. So I hope that we would not have too many interpretations of what happened last week. Because in our last meeting, we spent a lot of time trying to clear one another on what really happened in our previous meeting. Honourable members would remember that we had developed a particular approach in dealing with this, and we're moving from one chapter to the other. Where we agreed, we agreed. Where we did not agree, or we felt that there was a need for further reflection and engagement, we used a vocab that is to pack. We packed those issues. Now, we adjourned at the end of chapter 5, meaning therefore we need to proceed to continue from chapter 6 until the last chapter. And then once we are done with that, we'll then have to guide ourselves as to whether we go back to the issues that have been passed or do we reschedule for a meeting that will only deal with those issues that we have and nothing else. Agree to disagree or agree to agree on all matters that we will raise for the double garage. We are on chapter 6. The meeting is officially declared open. Honourable Mazuri.
Yes, on chapter 6, I just hope that when we finish with this part of our business, we would then, like you were saying, you were referring to issues that were passed. We would like to get an opportunity to address some of the matters that were parked as part of the way going forward, if there is time at the end of what we're doing now, because there are issues we would like to come back on, which were parked. We have positions. We have a position on them. But in section 6, chapter 6, chapter 6, section 18, 19, subsection 6, we are only inserting it. The last paragraph says, if an application for request referred to in subsection 1 is received, the head of the organ of state concerned must within, and then we insert the word, a reasonable time to conduct a review of the classified information held by the organ of state. If I recall, there was mention of 14 days and so on and so on. We are now modifying that to say at least give the department a reasonable time. It was 14 days were considered too tight, if I'm correct. That's the end of chapter 6. Thank you.
Any other view?
Chairman, are we correct am I correct in saying that 3A Roman 1, the word substantial was agreed to change to any? Okay, so that we dealt with. Chairman, the three words in red, a reasonable time, are the original wording of the bill. and the ANZ proposal that we had supported of 14 days has now been withdrawn by the ANZ, which is then a right to do that. But we believe that 14 days should remain as originally proposed by the ANZ.
Any other member, honourable? Oh, are you still on?
I gave up my turn, but I should not have done this, Jim. So you can give someone else a turn and come back to me if you wish.
May I proceed?
Mr. Chairman, there is one other area, 3A Roman 1. We got this, there was any substantial. But at the end of that line, there has been a proposed amendment, again by the ANC, which the words had been inserted, or Section 14 or Section 47 of this Act, just before the or there. And I'm not sure why that's no longer appearing in the proposed amendment. Perhaps we can get some idea from the ANC why they've withdrawn that proposal. One.
Can I speak on that? No, we have not. Maybe it's this main document in front of us. We were simply saying, in accordance with section, remember it was originally section 14. We are now saying in accordance with section 10, which is the new section 14. We still retain that. Yeah.
So 14 changes to
10. Yes.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to hear this. I'm really not fighting it, but it isn't in the document. That's what worries me. I'm not sure that I'm looking at the right document now.
No. What we're saying is, if it does not appear in the document, it should be included, as we are discussing now. It's an omission, basically, more than anything else.
A head of organ of state or a request is submitted. That is in terms of 6. The application is submitted at the time when the head of organ of state is supposed to leave the country in the following day for an international obligation that will take away 10 days or 7 days of his time. How do we arrest him? You may.
Mr. Chairman, I can assure you that the head of the organ of state will probably not deal with these matters, but if that were to be the case, I'm sure that the responsibility to deal with the matter would be given someone else. And if there's a view that 14 days might be a bit short, then 21 days. But I think the issue is not so much the 14 days as it is a finite time, because a reasonable time means different things to different people and can be interpreted in all sorts of ways. That the minister might get ill and be off for 2 months. And so in those circumstances, it would be reasonable perhaps to say to be only give a reply in 3 months. So it's the principle of setting a finite time, which normally applies in these kind of circumstances. So if 40 days is considered too short, perhaps we can look at 21 days, even 30 days.
For so long as there's time, but that time frame should not also be restricted to allow that flexibility. I don't know what's the view of other parties, or maybe if the state law advisors are here to assist us with, in terms of the I don't want to use the word of the jurisprudence or whatever, but your experience, what would be reasonable? How do you say you were to argue in court for something that you believe that it would be reasonable or unreasonable? And I'm raising this question against an understanding that the bill itself, the way it is, in terms of creating space for an application to a court, there is something that is referred to as an urgent application or say, for instance, the person is still not happy. Say, whether it be 30 days, but the person feels that 30 days is too much. What would be your view with regard to that?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it will depend on the circumstances of this particular case. What will happen here is that it will take into account all the circumstances relating to the matter, and it will therefore take into account what the urgency of the matter is. So a person must just read the particular subsection to see that there's an obligation that the head of organ of state must, within a certain time period, reply. But the reasonableness will be determined by court. So if a person has been applied to court, the court can determine whether it's reasonable, taking into account certain circumstances, and also depending on the urgency of the matter, the court will then also then say, well, this is an urgent matter, let's adhere to the particular matter. And then secondly, Chairperson, there's also the question of, Chairperson raised the issue of the head of organ of state not in the country, that there is a delegation order that the head of organ of state may delegate to a senior official the power to classify or to declassify that particular function, and that's all contained in the particular provisions of the Act.
So what would be the material basis of having 14 days, 21 days, and a reasonable time, or a reasonable period? What would be of material? I just want for me to be clear.
Chairperson, what will the court will take into account whether the time period that's referred to in this particular section, whether the 14 days will be reasonable in circumstances, and that if there is good cause shown when there's an urgent application brought before the court, that court will also take into account the reasonableness of the application and circumstances under which the application was made. This will depend on a case-by-case basis. Whether the court will grant the application or not. But the 14-day period is the obligation of the head of organ of state must, within 14 days, when there is a request in terms of section 3A2, Roman 2, grant the reclassification of the classified information. So it's a guideline in terms of which the head of organ of state must respond to the particular matter. But within 14 days, obviously, that particular application must be granted or not granted.
Honourable Lewis, your agenda?
No, thank you. I think the state law advisor has given what I wanted to say, Chair, that in terms of our approach, we are convinced that we do need standards that will assist in terms of guiding and regarding the process in trying to mitigate the situation there.
Honourable Gunda?
Chair, as we have just listened now to the state law and write it on, I don't think it will do any harm, Chair, if you put in 30 days in. Then it's more reasonable.
Honourable Mazotu, and then you come in.
No, Chair, you see, we are quite comfortable with the interpretation from the state law advisor, Chair. There is a recourse, really. That's the bottom line. There is a recourse if somebody feels that it's not reasonable. There is a recourse, you can go to court, and exactly what they were explaining, courts will determine the reasonableness of the fact. So we need not put numbers on that, precisely because you don't want to put pressure on the system when, in fact, you can't deliver on it sometimes. You know, we want to have some flexibility just. We legislate to allow smooth flow of the work of government. We don't legislate to put pressure and frustrate. That's the whole issue, Terry. If we put pressure, we will fail at that level of government. Definitely we'll fail. And we would want to blame legislation, and that's not fair. Thank you.
Honourable, I think it was this.
Mr. Chairman, there's been a successful confusion created here between 5 and 6. 5 deals with courts. 6 has nothing to do with the court at all. And the reference to court and reasonable determined by the court is not applicable to 6. It's only applicable if an application is brought to court. Now, it is interesting that a reasonable time now is being argued for so forcefully in 6, whereas in 4 A and B, time prescripts are given to the head of organ of the state, and yet it's not acceptable in 6. So I think one must be cautious about confusing the court's role in determining what a reasonable time is if there's an application to court. And on the other hand, in 6, forcing everyone to go to court to determine what a reasonable time is. And that's not what 6 is about. And again, I say to you, 4 does indeed say 14 days in A and 30 days in B, and we seem to be quite happy with that. So let's not confuse the issue with what the court will determine as a reasonable time. The court is not in 6. We're not asking the court to do that. In 6, we're trying to give the head of an organ of state a time limit on how give the response.
Honorable Kunda.
In support of what my colleague has just said, it is true that we must make this bill is for state information security and all that, but it's important that we must mind ourselves. We're leaving people out there who don't have always access of the resources to pay a lawyer to go to court to get papers. So I believe if we said 30 days, it's fine too, because we said 14 and 30 days. So I don't think what will be such a big difference now is 30 days. If there's any other thing that happens, there's always a way of communicating.
How do you guys will you garage or
no? I don't think there is any guidance needed. I think the explanation was given and shows that we don't agree on this one and we go on.
I would encourage members not to just one disagreement. Don't disagree because you want to disagree. When in actual fact there is all reasonability in agreeing, but then we opt. You know, we opt into a situation where we disagree. Using the same legislation, the opt-in clause, we opt to disagree. So, no, I'm looking on. I'm just raising it, Honorable Bunda, that let's trial and look at it in that spirit as well.
Yes,
if I engage with you today on a particular matter, which is quite substantive, tomorrow I come back to you and say, hey, you know what? Having slept over this matter, I saw it differently. You know, yes, I understand what I said to you yesterday, but I'm having this thinking. And I thought that's the spirit that guides engagement. You know, you're not static. That yesterday you saw red, therefore it must be red. Whether if on your way you happen to see green and blue giving you a different color. So I just thought that spirit must always be guiding us, like we started in January with this bill. Honorable Bloom?
Chair, but if we are not going to agree on something, let us pass it and accept it that there's a disagreement on the ANC side, on the Hope side. Let us not take it further. We will vote on this thing if we disagree on a thing. Thanks.
Which I thought the spirit since January or December was that we need to avoid that, if possible. Let's avoid that. It shouldn't be our basis of engagement, that it's either you take it or not. By the way, I've got my power to vote. No, it shouldn't be. Honorable Gooda.
Chair, taking in that spirit that you just explained to us, we must not be rigid on issues. The problem here, Chair, that we are facing here, if you look properly through that subsection, I'm asking myself the question, what if the information is of such importance for the public and there's an ordinary person that picks it up and disturbs the reasonable time? And Chair, you know, cause reasonable time is not reasonable. That you know. They take their time on issues. Even if the thing is urgent, they will take their time. All I'm feeling with is that let's make this thing easy for our people who don't have the resources to get able to get information. Why don't we get something here and help all the people, anybody in this country? Ransom, listen, we don't have money to go to court, we can't get information. That's my argument. My argument is not about whoever said what. My argument is about let's make it easy for the public. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I thought we agreed, Honourable Zimande and then Honourable...
But, Chair, I think in the same light, this is what we said earlier, that if you have and Liz is clarifying this and saying that it's, if we're separating the courts and the reasonableness process of court and this one in particular, which means that it comes back to the opening remarks, reflections, that says, if this person is sick, what then? He might be sick for an off, put off or paid for 60 days. So this is what we are grappling with. We are in the same spirit, Chair, that we want standard. But what we are trying to ascertain is what limits, what control can be put. And I think it's appropriate, therefore, that let this matter, let's investigate a little bit further in terms of this. We are not a part of it. It's a question of trying to find the best position given all the surrounding circumstances. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much. I thought one of those two will be the last so that we move. We've agreed in principle to pass it, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to chapter 7.
Chapter 7, Chairperson, I'm on line, in fact, chapter 7, section 22, subsection 3, in fact, subsection 2, where it's supposed to be sentence, the joint standing committee on intelligence must table a list of 5 persons for approval by Parliament. That then takes into account the whole issue of the two houses. Then, subsection 3, we are inserting the words the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces must, by resolution with the support of majority vote of its members, upon approval, submit a list of 5 persons to the minister for appointment. In other words, it's simplifying the whole question of what Parliament is. We're inserted the words at the start of subsection 3, the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. That's what we've done there. And I will move on to section 23 of the same chapter, chapter 7. Subsection E, where it starts with the sentence, is an office bearer or employee of any political, of any, we use the word political party there, on subsection E. Then again on the same subsection 23, subsection I, where the sentence, in fact, I'll start with H, where it starts with the sentence, has been convicted of an offense in the Republic, other than an offense committed prior to 10 May 1994, associated with political objectives, and was sentenced to imprisonment without an option of a fine, or has been removed from an office of trust on account of misconduct involved in theft, then we insert the words corruption, maladministration, or fraud. That's what we are we are formulating it in that particular fashion, that subsection.
Honorable what?
I must take the whole chapter first.
Are you comfortable with that? Or you wanted to intervene now?
Oh, you want to intervene now, you can.
What are we dealing with? The disqualification from membership?
Yes.
Correct.
Chair, I'd like to know what happened to our proposal, the EA proposal with regard to 23H. We asked that the word after with political objectives, the word and must be replaced or with sentence to imprisonment without an option of a fine. Otherwise, the person has got to be subjective or have been sentenced to both and not or, one or the other. But here we want both. Thank you. There was a proposal that we had where we just delete and altogether, and I think that has the same impact. So either or and, but I think just delete and. But we can. Yeah. Thank you very much.
What are the implications of this? What is it? No, I must be clear. I mean, if I were to be asked a question, I must be able to answer. Honorable Lee.
Mr. Chairman, it wasn't my motivation, but I thought it was very good motivation during the discussions we had with other political parties, including the ANC. So this is a list of disqualification criteria. It's not your, if you go through the list, nowhere does it say or, and neither does it say and. So it seems that the and on the second to last criteria perhaps was put in, you know, when you're doing a list and you're putting commas between things and then you say and, it means that all those criteria have to be met before someone can be disqualified. And none of us, including Nancy, didn't believe that was the intention. So either you put or you simply leave the word and art, and it becomes a list of disqualifying criteria. Otherwise, if you leave it in, every single one of those criteria has to be met before someone may be disqualified.
Mr. Lewis is correct in saying we discussed this informally, and we, under H, we had agreed with the last and to be removed and be replaced by O, and then reading the last paragraph there. We have agreed to that. We don't have a problem. But you are introducing a new issue today, as if we had already agreed on it. The other end, under H, where it says, tenly associated with political objectives and was sentenced to imprisonment. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now you're putting it as if we were objecting. We are not objecting. Oh, okay. We agree.
You agree to do what? To change the L to O.
Chair, if you read the sentence, can I read it to you? There are two ends there. The last one is changing, not the first end. If you read it properly, it has been convicted of an offense in the Republic other than an office committed, an offense committed prior to 10 May 1994 to change those political objectives and was sentenced to imprisonment without an option of a fine or. That's the order they're talking about. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
That's the order that is changing.
Oh. Because I wanted to raise an element of inconsistency. Even with what... Yeah, no, it's fine now. Because I was just thinking of other pieces of legislation that seeks to deal with the same, like the Electoral Act and so forth. And I couldn't find any contradiction in. But it's fine, now I found it what it is that you're talking about. All right. Removal from office.
Yes, sir. Can I continue?
Yes.
Removal from office, section 24, A1C, where it starts with the sentence with the word adoption, the adoption by Parliament of a resolution calling for members' removal as a member of classification review panel. And again, previously it was saying National Assembly, who are replacing that with Parliament. But it rather amplifies that on subsection 2 by simply saying a resolution of the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces concerning the removal of a member from the classification review panel must be adopted with a supporting vote of a majority of members of the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. We have inserted the words under section 2, the National, after the word a resolution of, we have inserted the words the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. And then again, we have also inserted the word national, then National Assembly, let me read it that way, after the words, with a supporting vote of a majority of the members of the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. Can I continue, sir?
Yes.
With subsection 3 under 24, subsection 3A, where it starts with the sentence, the minister may suspend a member of the classification review panel at any time after the start of the proceedings of, we inserting the words, of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence for the removal of that person. And then the last one on that page is subsection 3AB, 3B actually, where the sentence starts with the words, must remove a person from the office upon adoption by Parliament of the resolution. The word there is Parliament that is being
inserted.
Thank you very much. Removal from office. Agreed?
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes, we agree.
Remuneration of members and staff.
In fact, we don't have a problem with sections 25, 26, 27, 28, and on 29, where it talks about accountability of classification review panel. The classification review panel is accountable to Parliament and must report on its activities and performance of its function at least once a year. That means Parliament means the two houses. Yes. On reporting on section 30 under reporting, subsection 3, where the sentence starts with the words "the head of an organ of state must, in respect of the declassified information in possession of an organ of state, prepare a report," we're setting the word "annually" in line with time frame of financial reporting cycle of national government for submission to the classification review panel. In other words, it does streamline how reporting must be made to the national government. Yes, that's the end of chapter 7.
Honorable Lee.
Chairman, in section 25, we have maintained, since we first started our amendment, that the remuneration of members of the review panel should not be vested in the hands of the Minister and Finance Minister. This review panel needs to be completely independent, and we have proposed that it be Parliament that determines that decides on the remuneration, and so we seek to hold that amendment in place there. In terms of 27.1, the ANC has withdrawn its initial amendment there. If you go to the end of that paragraph, except just before the word "if" and after the words "classified information," the ANC proposed that we put in there within 14 days. That now is no longer on the table, but we still believe that there should be a time constraint on this.
Just like what was that?
27.1, at the end of toward the end of the paragraph, between the words "information" and "if," that there should be a time constraint there. Now, whether it's 14 days, I suppose, can be debated like we suggested previously. But there's not even reasonable time here. And so I'm not sure why that amendment was withdrawn.
Okay. On our list, let's deal with the remuneration.
Thank you.
All right. Let's just deal with remuneration first. Honorable Mazo and
You put around the question of remuneration of members of the panel, the whole area of independence of the members. To us, we can live with that formulation at ease, because, Chairperson, this bill is involving Parliament all the time, even with respect to regulation, annual reports, and so on. There is no stage where Parliament is not going to be involved. And if we fear that somehow this panel will be influenced by certain people in dark places, that assertion really is not founded on good grounds, because
we because the work of the review panel cannot be overturned by anyone in the government department. For us, that is independent enough. I'm not sure what more do we want if the decisions of that panel can only be overturned by courts, etc. Because ministers cannot overrule that panel. That's the kind of checks and balances you would see in any piece of legislation working. And here we have a very, very strong system of checks and balances that is provided for in this bill itself. The whole question of the money to us really is not an issue at all. It can be. Thank you.
Honourable Zimai.
Yeah, sure. You see, this might, obviously I didn't know that this might also raise, but it might raise issues of, introducing new scenarios or new regimes in terms of Parliament's role in determining remuneration. I'm not aware of the situation where we are determining we are given power to determine the remuneration of entities or individuals elsewhere. If you deal with public prosecution, there's an act to that. If judges, there's an act to that. So I'm not sure what is the DNC in terms of Parliament. Are they in a way introducing they are thinking that Parliament has just planted functions of dealing with remuneration to strengthen what Honourable Mazos was saying. Because each and every area where remuneration activities to take place or function is regulated separately in terms of the legislation. But also, we are saying that we can live with this not so much bother because you see, this act is indeed an act by this minister that is referred to in 25, and therefore he has a role in as far as that is concerned. So we're not limiting in our view as the ANC, we're not limiting the powers or double delegating where it's unnecessary, unless we have to create new things that said how the remuneration would be determined. This is our view at this point. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Lee.
Chairman, again, I think we're confusing the issue of remuneration with checks and balances in terms of the other influences on members of the panel. We all know that money influences people. Anyone who doesn't believe that, I'm afraid, I don't know why. And so the old saying is that the person who controls the purse strings calls the tune or something to that effect. And so I take the point that the Honourable Zimander makes, is that, perhaps it's too broad to the Parliament, and maybe the amendment then should bring that determination of remuneration in line with the way that the remuneration of members of Parliament, judges, and others are remuneration is determined. And I would accept that as being a valid criticism of what we're suggesting. But we really do feel strongly that it shouldn't be determined by a minister with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. In other words, it's the minister, and here we're talking about the Minister of Security, determining it, and it's the panel which is going to review the decisions of its own department. And therefore, there could well arise a situation where such minister wishes to punish members of the panel for decisions that he or she does not like, by way of remuneration, or perhaps reward, of course.
No. That's fine. I just thought that sometimes we just need to be careful of what we say, because not all of us are influenced by money. Not all of us. Money is not the ultimate determiner on what and how I think. But of course, people take different concepts, influenced by the dynamics that they find themselves operating. So it shouldn't be an argument where all human beings are reduced to a point where their thinking would forever be determined by money. I mean, so I just thought that I must caution ourselves, because I know where Honorable Lee is coming from, and he knows very well where I'm coming from. In relation to that, coming back to the issue now, let's come back to the thing. That one I was just, because I think the system will influence you, and it depends on you whether if you resist the system. So, honorable members, we've got an act.
Chairman, I'm very pleased to hear that the year beginning in 2019.
We've got an act, honorable members. That is called the PMA. We've got an act that governs, that guides, that directs everybody. Now, where do we see this act fit into this whole issue of the funding of the panel? Or do we see a situation where the panel would be so independent that at some point it may even solicit or seek its own funding from donor funding? It would not be accountable. And if we still continue with the same logic that for a second we agree that money influences the ultimate, who says then that the donor fund that would not influence? Now I want to be clear, because if I leave this room, I want to be able to respond to questions. If my child asks me a question that says that the PFMA has an act that covers the finances of South Africa, why do you leave it out? And if it comes in, it obviously the Minister of Finance would have a role to play, and the head of organ of state. And that's how I've always understood legislation to be drafted in Parliament. It is a standing thing. You pick up any piece of legislation, and the financial implications it will direct to the PMA in conjunction with the Minister of Finance. Now, why in this instance should we be different? Honorable
No, Chair, to reinforce our position at ANC. Look, the panel itself is appointed by Parliament, you know, and if now the argument says those who are going to appoint will be corrupt or will be tempted to be corrupt, so to speak, in terms of the kinds of influences you're talking about, it then comes back to us as parliamentarians that we have a responsibility to put in the people with integrity. But that's it. We were supposed to be doing the chairperson. And we therefore support the view. In fact, to us, whether the money lies with the minister or where, somewhere, it's not an issue. To us, it's about systems that are being put in place that must make sure that governance itself is strengthened. That is why this bill has got some checks and balances in that respect, one of which is Parliament itself playing a role in making sure that the people we appoint are people with integrity. I don't believe there is a much stronger checks and balance or a monitoring tool than that, because those reports are coming to Parliament as well. Parliament will be in charge
And if there are any decisions that are taken by the panel that Parliament is not happy with, there is a system that members can be removed if that is the case. You know that. Thank you very much.
Honourable Gunda, yes, you may come in. Because, you see, I don't want for us to engage outside of the spirit of what we are trying to do. I don't want for us to engage outside that spirit. Yes, the excess under the heavy financial implications, in light of the establishment of the classification review panel, there were financial implications for the state. Are we suggesting that the state should not have any role in terms of financing and making this panel functional? Maybe you may assist in your engagement.
Chair, this is what I wanted to say. My comment is the parade of the okay, if it's fact, and you listen to his stand, then give the minister and implementing the minister the field mag. Even if the parliament is going to say, I'm not saying as parliament, ons gaan mensen van die integriteit uit aanstellen. Dat is niet wat we willen niet. Al wat ons vraagt, is dan zoals die terecht is. Daar is wel eens die PSMA, wat zekere salaris betalen. Hoe kan dan hierdie nemen? Zijn salaris dan ook niet. Bijvoorbeeld, zoals ons members op parlement, die commissie. Hoe kan dan met die daadier gaan niet? Hoe komen die minister dat doen? En die daadier minister? Hoe komt dan met die rijcommissie gaan niet? Why we giving the minister so many powers? For what? To do what? I'm not saying it's going to be corruption. I'm not saying we are going to employ people who don't have integrity. That's not what we are saying. That's not what we are saying.
How do we
have a minister part of this one? On Friday, the minister sent the
security.
Yeah. Iman Jansen is the minister. Iman. But I don't know
if
this is the field. I don't know if
because you're not dealing with an interject and member stop after the press. Honorable Zimane, and then Honorable Chair.
Chair President, Baba, ngithiwe namhlanje siphasise umthetho wabashushisi wa 1998 othi ongqongqoshe kwezomthetho nokuthuthukiswa kwezokulungisa nokuthuthukiswa komthetho sekelo justice nongqongqoshe kwezezimali banamalungelo okuxoxa nokubonisana nabashushisi ngemirholo yabo namhlanje kwi-NCOP namhlanje njengesithi sayiphakamisa ukuthi bazimele ukuba namandla okushintsha leto akubona bodwabodwa ngenjalo
there's a point of order. I'm a little linguist of some weakness, but my colleagues aren't, and there's no translation service, so please can we have a translation?
Yeah. Okay, no, you should have raised the point when the other colleague speaks in Afrikaans. Now he's raising because I'm speaking. That paranoid, I take offense with. Paranoid. And it must be stay on record as that is paranoid.
Even on the point of order, I have pointed out that my Zulu is not good.
But my Afrikaans is not good.
Can I have some protection, please?
Okay. And his English is not Afrikaans.
Members.
His English is not Afrikaans.
You are members of a very, very important now, called the National Council of Provinces. Now that has a bill now today, on official language. So if you had passed it in the House and come in state of policy now, I find it very interesting. So my ruling rather is that let's be sensitive to us being understood by the arts. So as you were proud of Africans, you can't proud of Africans, my man, you must not have had to look up. There's no air key anywhere Africans are so can proud and world. See? So even if a member will object, can you object?
Yeah. No, the person, I don't have a problem with the situation, and Honorable Liz is correct, that when we are to speak in other languages, there should be a translation services arranged. He's correct on that one.
Mm.
But he should embrace the point of order when his colleague did so. Not because it's for him, but it's also for all of us. That's why I'm taking offense when now I'm raising it, when he's raising a point, when I'm speaking Zulu. And it doesn't matter. I don't understand Zulu should have said in Afrikaans so much. He should have thought for me as well. But in any way, I'm repeating myself now. I'm saying in English, broken English, that we've just passed Judicial Matters Amendment Bill today, which gives the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development and the Treasurer, the Finance Minister, power to determine remuneration of prosecutors according to the 1998 Act and the Judges Act, the Commission on Remuneration of Judges and public office bearers. We just approved that decision as well. That there's the parliamentary rules as we stand now, Chair. They say that we only as Parliament have a role, limited role, to approve, and it's a verbal quotation out of the head, approve the determination from the executive. So the contemplation and all this and all, so we are putting a view, Chair, as and say that we can't be inconsistent. And there are processes of amending any other matters that need amendment elsewhere. We should not sneak issues and therefore provide uncertainty in law what we are intended to do. That's where we are.
Honourable Chair.
Unless Honourable Lee's held got any other point to back his argument, I think it should be persuaded that his concern doesn't hold. Because even if you look into the South African Human Rights Commission, their remuneration, who determines it? The public protector, who determines it? It's still the minister in concurrence with the Minister of Finance and all those things. So I'm saying, unless he has got any other point, but this one really has been sufficiently disproven, and we must accept that it falls and we pass. If our business of persuading each other really is taking place. But I'm of the view that Honourable Lee would not unreasonably delay on this one. Thank you.
Okay. We agree to proceed, Honourable Members?
Yes.
Okay. We are now on Chapter 8.
Mr. Chairman, the AG have amended 33 and taken out their initial amendment of 31st of December. Now, the wording of the new amendment, actually, I don't understand what it really means. If I could have an explanation of what those words really mean, annually in line with time frames of financial reporting cycle of national government, does that mean that the financial year for the national sphere of government, if I remember correctly, runs from April.
Are you on chapter 9? Oh, that's why now, 33 now, chapter 9.
Okay. Are you with me, Mr. Jim?
Huh?
Does that mean that the date now is at the end of the financial year for the national sphere of government? And if that is, then let's just put it in the simple terms. Is that's what you'll mean, what the intention?
Chair, I'm not sure whether there is a contradiction when it says
time frames of the financial reporting cycle of national government. Why would there be a problem around that? Because this precisely what it means.
What are they?
Can someone tell me what those time frames are? That one I can quickly deal with without being accused of anything.
Right now, it's unknown, actually. Right now, I want it to be on record. Departments have submitted their annual report. The BVR process has started now in Parliament. So this is the phase, the accounting phase of department. Yeah.
Unless we want to put in something that is known by everybody in Parliament, there are time frames for annual reports to be submitted and so on. Do you want us to put it?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'd be entirely comfortable if it said in line with the time frames for annual reports. It doesn't say that. It says a reporting cycle. I don't know what a reporting cycle is.
Annual report. Oh, well.
This is a law. This is not a nice story. The nature of the law is important. And I'm sure it's not going to change the position of the ANC.
Can I comfortably request you to assist us for the cycle? That is cycle. Finance. Yes. When is money released? When are departments are supposed to submit their annual reports? That entire cycle of financial reporting to Parliament. In your authority now as a chair and as a member who serves in the site in finance committee, which honorable Lee also serves in?
No, Chair, I think the honorable Lee can attend it. I mean, the reference here is related to the last step of that cycle, which is submission of reports.
I was just inviting God to be with us. All right. We need help. No. Okay, let's go to chapter 8 now.
Yeah. Chapter 8, it's two amendments on appeal. Section 31, subsection 1, where the sentence starts with the word any person who is refused access to. We insert in the word state information in terms of this act may appeal to the relevant minister of the classifying organ of state. The word there is refused access to state information. That's the word we're interesting. Under section 31 of section 3, where the sentence starts with the words upon receipt of an appeal, the relevant minister of the, we insert in the word classifying organ of state, must make a finding and in the case of refusal, provide reasons within 30 working days of the date of receipt of such request. The key word there we are inserting is classifying organ of state. Yeah, classifying. Thank you, Chair. That's the end of chapter 8.
Agreed?
Yes. Yes, agreed.
No, there's nothing wrong to say yes, agree.
Yes, yeah, agree with that.
There's no need. It appears the ANC is speaking for the DA and for what we don't have
application to court?
There's no amendment there, Chair. We're proposing.
Chapter 9,
Chair, Chapter 10, under section 34. Release of classified information to public. Section 34.1. In fact, section 34, subsection 1, where it starts with classified information, that is declassified may be made available to the public in accordance with this Act, that is the Promotion of Access to Information Act, comma, with setting the word 2000 and then brackets Act number 2 of 2000. Or any other law. That's what we are proposing, sir. It's a minor amendment in reference to the PAIA itself.
Agreed?
You agree?
Implementation and monitoring? Agreed? We
have no amendment, eh?
Everyone? Chapter 11.
You can't just give the AC the opportunity and just move on and on and on and on. Silence is not silence for 30 seconds. You need to. Can I just take a few seconds to check as I go along?
Do you have something, Honorable? From the deadline.
Chair, see, the problem we have is this here, especially when Chair asks if agreed and members say agreed, so it means that we must put everything that members have agreed on, although that is not in line with the with what you say is a form and style of legislative drafting. Although it's not in line and form with legislative drafting, Chairperson. For instance, with that, with the inflation of 2000, bracket Act 2 of 2000, where Chairperson, for instance, in the Act, the definition that the Act is defined, there's no need for the sense to include that, what the substance is proposed in the body of the Act, because it's already defined, and if you define it, it's not in line with the form and substance of legislative drafting. If what I'm saying, Mr. Mazuzu, will be then apply also to the long cycle when you were adding those things to the old Dispensation Act. No, because it's defined, so it's not necessary to include it there. So that is why even when you asked initially on the other day that you proposed that, why I didn't include it. I wanted to respond and say in the previous meeting. I wanted to say, but the person said, I must just keep. But it's defined, so there's no need to add it there.
Okay.
So I'm just afraid because members have agreed, so I'll be accused of ignoring what the members have agreed on.
Okay. No, thanks for that intervention. Honorable Bloom?
You see, there's nothing wrong in putting it as it is now here. It's not in the definition. It's fine in the definition. But what is wrong in putting it like this?
I wouldn't agree with that. Let's get an explanation, sir.
Sir, if you see, if you have the bill of contents in page 7, let's talk, Chairperson. It talks about what Promotion of Access to Information Act means, and it has Promotion of Access, blah, 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 blah. So because they've defined like that, you see the perspective. And at the also, if you go, for instance, in Chapter 1, it's just at the bottom, in this Act, unless the context indicates otherwise, then it goes and gives all the definition separately. So now, you see we've got nothing at the top in this Act, unless the context indicates otherwise. Then now, if you would put those things that Mr. Rosso says, 2000, Act number 2 of 2000, then you're contradicting what is there on top, Chairperson, because you try the context, because it is defined. On top of page 7 in the Act, it is defined there. So when it is used there in the body of Act, it refers to that is defined there.
Definitely.
So there's no need, unnecessary.
Like it said, the classified information that is declassified may be made available to the public in accordance with the Act, the Promotion of Access to Information Act, and then you pause and go to the definition. What is this? Okay, fine, you find it. That's what you mean. Referring that.
Yes, sir.
It's up.
Okay.
All right. Agreed.
Yes, agreed, because there will always be opportunity by settled or advisors to mop up on issues like that when we finalize our proposed amendments. Definitely. Thank you very much.
All right. Was that the only intervention in relation to our grid? But where there is nothing, it means that that section or whatever is agreed to by the committee to remain like that. For instance, let me give an example, implementation and monitoring responsibilities of the agency. It was agreed by the committee. So 35 would remain like that. Yes, that's what I'm saying. We are on chapter 11. Okay. Honorable Lee.
Tim, with regard to chapter 10, I'm not sure how we're dealing with the question of valuable information. Whether I need to go through the whole bill highlighting where valuable information is mentioned and should be removed, or whether there's an acceptance that that is our position and that the issue is passed, and I don't have to go back to it in every section of the bill. Because if I do, then we've got to look at 35A, chapter on implementation and monitoring. I need your guidance on that, Mr. Chairman. But I need to look for valuable throughout the bill as we go, or just say, okay, we've mentioned it, let's move on, and the garage will have a mechanic look at it later.
Chairman, I thought that was our understanding of the alarm.
I'm a bit confused.
What you remember from the onset, the DA said wherever value is reflected, you pull. Now, the last time in our meeting, insofar as I can remember, they said because of there has been movement where the ANC agreed and the other political parties agreed where you leave valuable, where you remove valuable. Rather, let's pack it and come back to it. And then we would argue, or the committee will then engage insofar as we find valuable information to be located and justify or disjustify its existence. That's how I understood it. All right, now we're on chapter 11.
Can I speak on chapter 11, chapter 10. Under section 37, you would recall that the word ought reasonably to have known has been removed in other section except FNR. This is trying to, this section deals with that directly. And, but then we are inserting new words under section 37, subsection 1, where it says, it is an offense punishable on conviction by imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years to unlawfully and intentionally receive state information classified top secret, which the person knows or would directly or indirectly benefit a foreign state to the detriment of national security of the Republic. If you recall again, we need to define what we mean, because there have been a lot of discussion around that. That's what we have done. Throughout, under section 37, subsection 1, and subsection 2, subsection 3, and under 37, I don't want to go to. In fact, even in under section 38, where it deals with hostile
material.
Yeah.
Let's deal with the 37.
37, yes.
Honorable Blue.
I'm having a question for the ANC. What happened to
to their proposal on 36.1. I hear that you are saying nothing with 36.1. Let me read it that you have proposed. It is an offense punishable of conviction by imprisonment for a period, then you delete not less than 15 years, but not exceeding 25 years. It is still pending order.
I want to avoid us moving forward and backward. The last meeting, the way I understood the decision or the agreement of the committee was that with regard to espionage, it will remain like that. And then we remove the owners of Reversa from all others. And in this instance, Honorable Bloom, we're talking of espionage offenses, which I, having chaired this committee agreed. It was not an ANC thing, it was the committee's decision.
On what?
On the question of espionage offenses.
Please, with respect, give us time to debate these things.
No, but we can't be debating things, and I mean, I take it that I also have got a responsibility to direct the meeting. I mean, if we're moving in circles, every meeting, we're raising the same things in a different way. We're not taking the committee anywhere.
Yes. We have done now page by page. Are you saying we must skip now espionage? Are you proposing that now?
Let me remind you once more. The ANC made a submission last week to say that on the question of the reversal of honor, it agrees with what the opposition was raising. But insofar as espionage is concerned, they want to retain the content of espionage insofar as sentences and gravity of it. There was no objection.
That's why I'm saying, please, let us go the way that we have proceeded now, page by page. Why must we skip that espionage? Why must we skip it?
Honorable Mazotif,
can I propose a break for 10 minutes? Not necessarily. Yeah. But can we pray for 10 minutes? I guess now we are.
No, I've got nothing.
The cameras are up. No, honorable members are not yet declared. I have not yet declared. I will not allow myself to be frustrated. But please, let us be objective in what we're doing. Let us be mature in what we're doing. I understand that this is a political environment, but let's not play with our emotions like this. That today we agree on something, tomorrow we want to relate on that agreement. How do we see ourselves moving forward if then this is going to be the attitude of this committee? I'm just trying to caution members that let's be serious. Let's be focused in what we're doing. All right, how many minutes are you proposing, Chief?
10 minutes,
okay, fine. Let's speak. What time is it, Chief? 10:06. Honorable members, you are advised that don't snack too much because you have been organized dinner. Not unless we will be accused of wasteful expenditure. That's the translation. Hey, express in the camera. Express. Hey, have the water put.
I'm not trying to sit there. Sometimes we can't do it.
No, thanks. I
I think, Honorable Bloom, your formulation seems to lose sight of the fact that because if one reads your formulation, it gives the impression that if you have the intention to cause harm, then it is wrong for you to have access to classified information. But the reality is that classified information, nobody who is not authorized to have access to that information would be found guilty if you are found to be in possession of that. Whether the intention was to cause harm or was to have it and put it in your house, you are not supposed to have that kind of information. That's what some of the provisions of this bill says. But the way you formulate it, because you are saying remove intentionally, you say with the intention to cause harm, have access, right, or intercept any classified information without authority or permission to do so. You really understand? But the reality is that whether your intention was to cause harm or not, if you access that information without proper authority, that in law is viewed as not right, because the information is classified. And there will have been reason why that information is classified. Remember, you can have that information and do nothing about it. But if anybody can have access to that information that you so neatly put away in your house and do something else about it, then it will do this irreparable or whatever harm that you're talking about. So your formulation seeks to create an impression that only the intention was to cause harm. And I don't agree with that. Hence, I would request you to reconsider your point on that one. I thank you, Chair.
Honorable Group?
Now, you see, as it stands here now, in the bill, it opened up a very serious loophole for anybody. You see, that is the reason now. A person who intentionally, it's 40.
40.
40. On.
Honorable Bruce, would I be probably wrong to interpret this to mean that I know this is classified information, or I know in whatever way Honorable Bloom and Honorable Lees are working in this institution where they are dealing with classified information. And as a result, I intentionally, knowing it, I know that we are dealing with this information, intercept your communication with Honorable Lees. And on the basis of acquiring that information that you and Honorable Lees were dealing with or engaging around, take that information and sell it. Which, if you go back to the body of the bill, there's this aspect of information peddling. And use that information intentionally. I know this is classified information. I intentionally and unlawfully intercept the communication with Honorable Lees. And upon acquiring that information, I use it for economic reasons. I'm aware. When I was this one, I stand to get $2 million. I stand to get $2 million for this information.
In fact, the new proposal, Chairperson, is opening up a serious loophole into that paragraph, Chairperson, because now you must prove that there was an intention to cause harm rather than mere access to that information. That is the problem we have now, because somebody
somewhere has to prove that, because now it simply means that if you have that information, if the intention to cause harm cannot be proved, then you can't arrest that. You've gone through the system, the justice system, and you've broken the code, and you've accessed this information, and you are caught. And you are now saying the intention must be proven to have to cause harm. You know, it's different from the original meaning. Because here it says mere access to that information when you have intentionally broken into the code of a department, then you are liable to
which, or maybe as we continue to engage on this issue, whether it be now or whatsoever, because intent is a matter that we need to come back to in terms of 36, 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39. Maybe, you know, I'm a layman. I've got serious limitations when it comes to the law and all that. I might have my strength in other things. But I still want to know which murderer will ever say to a court of law it was my intention to kill. Because always it will be, my intention was not to kill. And it is for the prosecution to prove that it was the intention of this person to kill. Because many of you say, I intentionally stabbed this person, knowing that I'm killing this person. It might be a bad example that the answer that it was my limitation. The lawyer will advise properly, just as I might also have my strength to advise on other things. That's life. All right, but can we treat it as part of the matter related to the intent as raised by the DA? So that when we get back to 36, maybe we, by that time, the state law advisors and the legal mind that Parliament has, we would also be able to be assisted to understand the thin line around understanding these words and what the implications of these words are in terms of the bill itself. But maybe sometimes there are limitations also of language.
I think it's slightly different to the others that we have packed, where we are going to argue the intent. Because this one, the new CA, the qualification that Honorable Bloom brings to cause harm, he does not get an issue with the intention. But then the new thing that he brings is the qualification to cause harm. But that qualification would always be triggered by the knowledge of the facts. You see?
Yeah.
Which knowledge one will obtain once we have access to information. For an example, ever since we started all these processes around this bill, many people outside would love to see themselves lay their hands on any document that is declared classified. The intention is to have classified documents. But as to what to do with that is something that will become clearer once they got a document and see the content. Only when they have the content, they can decide about the next step as to whether they should cause harm or they should just say, oh, now I know what is classified. But many of them, they don't know. They have never seen a classified document. You see. So I'm saying we should not pass this one back. I thought we were trying to make Honorable understand that qualification here, which in fact is the one that would create a serious loophole, because it gives the impression that only if you have proven that you are going to cause harm, then it is wrong. Can be wrong is to have access to classified information, because once you access that information that is classified and you are familiar with the contents, then it will trigger the causing harm or not of it.
you see. Because you are not adding the intent like the others, the nine and what and what and what.
Let's talk about it. not supposed to be in my hands.
With wrapping. They are not writing it with wrapping. They know that
Chairperson, Hope's proposal, we also had a proposal on 43. We are saying intentionally and replace with the intention to cause harm. Any person who unlawfully and with the intention to cause harm to national security to disclose classified information in contravention. That is our proposal. But let me go further, Chair. You see, if we the bill stands as it is, and we agree with what the ANC is proposing. You see, those employees who may disclose information regarding unlawful or irregular conduct by the employers or other employees in the employ of the employers in terms of protected disclosure act, whistleblowers in terms of section 159 of the Companies Act, all others include journalists and other whistleblowers, risk arrest, prosecution, and imprisonment. So we feel very strong, Chair, that code amendment must be included. Thank you, Chair.
Chairman, the original amendment and indeed largely the current amendment by the ANC was a major step forward. But we don't understand why the B has been removed. It was amended by the ANC to read is authorized or required in fulfillment of the responsibility assigned by any other law. Why has that now been removed? Because it forms an essential part of the breakthrough amendment originally proposed by the FT.
I think, Jefferson, like we've been arguing, throughout, and in fact we've revised then positions, because we are now talking about classified information, and we need to remove any ambiguity that may occur, around this section. We want to be specific. Protected Disclosure Act, Section 159 of Companies Act, and Section 54L, and Section 10 and 47 of this Act. We want to be specific, sir, so that there is no ambiguity when it comes to classified information. Possession of classified information, because any other law would then be sometimes interpreted in different ways. That's where we come from. And like honourable, this is also conceding that we have really, under this section, anybody who really is not covered under this section, I would not know how we should cover, people. But it simply says, if information reveals criminal activity, this is the core of what the people were talking about, people were raising. They were raising concerns that this act will sort of shut them off insofar as combating corruption is concerned. Now, this act is very specific. If you say that you have something that reveals corruption, put it in the open, so to speak, so that it can be. It's a serious amendment, and in fact, everybody has accepted that at least it has gone a long way in alleviating those fears that it might have had around this particular bill. I mean, if you read it with Section 10, the new Section 10, then we have a very tight piece of legislation. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we feel strongly that old Section B must remain as amended, if necessary, or just as it was originally. It's a vital part to the operation of this section, which has become an exemption section.
If I may ask, if you have the Act Number 36 of 2000, and Act Number 21 of 2008. Which other law would we be making relevant?
Might be passed next year. I don't know all the laws that are already in place. I have no idea what they are, so I think it's required.
Okay. So we don't have any other thing other than these two, which are currently in operation. I mean, the major one is the Act of 2000 and the Companies Act, which will then, I want to believe, address the issues that Honorable Bloom was raising around your whistleblowers, your shop stewards, and can't remember what he raised into it generally, of course. Can you have the benefit of that? You know. Members of the public. There is an issue that was raised with me the last time, and I deliberately avoided to raise it because I did not see it happening until now. I see where it was brought to my attention that there is an element of active participation of members of the public in the committee proceedings. Can we not refrain from doing that? Can it be the last time I see this? Because we'll have all the right to ask people to excuse the meeting. Because we are interfering now with the meeting proceedings, committee proceedings. Honorable Roth.
No, thank you, Chair. It's really out of order, knowing that the very same member of the public who came to Mr. Lee's now is from the media. It gives us problems whether we are dealing as committee or do we have media people interfering with us. I will pass on that one, but it's a serious thing that to me. On the proposal by COPE, I think Honorable Chani has explained the gaps that they are creating if we are going to add waste like with the intention to cause harm. Because really, that is a new issue that is not addressing what is the topic here. The topic says disclosure and possession of classified information. That disclosure and possession itself, it doesn't talk about where the intentions that you are talking about, but you intentionally disclose this, not necessarily to cause harm, but that in itself, the intention to disclose is what we are saying is an offense. But if we bring, I think it has been explained clearly by Honorable Chani, this thing was saying to cause harm, but now we are inviting the court to come at us, whereas we do have a bill here. Then it means we even have to go and change the title itself, the disclosures and possession of classified information. Because if we add that, it doesn't augur with what is in the topic itself. Thank you, Chair. And by saying so, I'm saying, please, Honorable Cope, reconsider. You have, I think the explanation has been given about the intention to cause harm, which is not part of what you are dealing with. Thank you.
Honorable Kula.
Chair, coming back to what Honorable Voroto has said, we are here not to debate, but to understand each other, to get this thing together. And what kind of harm can the very same thing do if the ANC has proposed and we accept all of that? Now the ANC come and give us another explanation, and one of us gives another explanation, as we must always consider what the ANC says, but the ANC can't consider what we say.
The spirit in which Honorable Gunda is raising this is not how we have agreed. When we go to meetings where we consult on each other, there are areas where we really don't agree. And it is important for us to keep on reviewing where there are problems. Not that we should be stagnant and said in the first meeting, this is what we say. This is being, it comes as a result of our discussions in the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. maybe let's just say that let's allow the power of persuasion to prevail. If you strongly feel as well that you want to convince Cope about something, it shouldn't stop. Equally so, it shouldn't stop the DA to convince the ANC if the DA feels strongly about a particular issue. So it shouldn't be found to be a discomfort when you pursue your argument in defense of your thinking. Can I give one of the listeners an
Mr. Chairman, you asked me a question and I didn't know the answer to it earlier, but just to give you one example of another act which I've just Googled, it's the Prevention and Combat of Corruption, Corrupt Activities Act number 12 of 2004, and that would be an example. I'm not saying that's the only other act, but that would be an example of another law which would fall into the category of the 43B, which has been now been deleted or proposed to be deleted. And I would have thought that an act dealing with anti-corruption would have been a clear contender to be covered here.
Okay. Are we agreed, huh? But in any case, I guess it is covered in the Act. But I stand corrected by the ANC.
I would have thought that Section 10 covers some of the issues raised by Mr. Lisa under conditions for classification. In any case, Chair, we don't agree. And if the request is to pack it, we can pack it going forward.
Yes, Chair. Yes, if we pack it because we disagree, I am having something, but it's fine. Let's pack it. We agree. Let's pack it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Question number 44, 45, the last paragraph of 46, the last sentence, the last paragraph or the last sentence, where it reads, any person who unlawfully and intentionally destroys, removes, alters, or raises valuable information is guilty of an offense and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years. We have just inserted 2 years now instead of 3, in line with the provincial archives thing. That's the only amendment there. 44, we have nothing. 45, we have nothing. 46, we have inserted 2 years instead of 3. Thank you.
And then 47, it addresses. And 47 would...
Yes, Chair, and 47 deals with improper classification. And the whole question of prevention and combating of corrupt activities act is brought to the fore as a new insertion under 47 C1, 47 subsection C, subsection 1.
Roman figure 1.
Oh, Roman figure 1. That's what we are inserting. And Roman figure 3, where it starts to prevent embarrassment to a person or organization, and are inserting the word or the agency. Then it goes on again. That is under 47.
Any comment? Chairman, we accept the amendments proposed by the ANC, but we have some additions to make to 44. And so 44, as it stands, remains, except that the amendment that we had previously tabled remains tabled, and it would read, provided that no person may, this is added on, so provided that no person may be prosecuted.
Is it added on after 5 years?
After 5 years, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If that person has, within 14 days of receipt, applied for declassification as contemplated in this Act, or if that person has, within 14 days of receipt, applied to the Classification Review Panel for a review of the classification as is contemplated in this Act, or 3, if that person has, within 14 days of receipt, applied to a court of law for an urgent review of the classification of the classified records or parts thereof, or 4, where the information or part thereof that is contained in the classified record has been improperly classified in terms of this Act.
I take it that it's part of the pact. Honourable? Yes, sir, we are really not in a position to agree to that. Because, I mean, the simple issue is what has been raised before, that if you have information and take it back, that's the key principle around this matter. And if one now is saying you must keep it up to a certain period, then again it opens up lots and lots of loopholes and quite becoming a dangerous practice. In between, there might be people taking that information and use it elsewhere, you know, without that person who had possession thereof initially knowing sometimes. There could be a very, very loose, situation. That's why you are saying, because there is a provision that simply says if you have this information, take it back to a department, that's what it says. And we stick by it. Otherwise, we can't open these loopholes on classified information. That's going to be chaotic.
So if we agree, then for other understanding. Yeah. You don't understand?
Are we saying that S40, for instance, is the S80 throughput and the 150 is throughput? Are we pumping it or what are we doing?
Okay, thank you.
What we're saying basically is that earlier there is a clause covering classified information. If you possess that information, you must. Because remember, we had a long discussion before we went to dinner about whether, you know, that person can. Because remember, Ronald Bloom Point was around this matter to say that you know, there was a motivation to actually create further loopholes around that. And we don't want to create further loopholes against a person to weaken that law. That's the essence of what was submitted first. That law is going to be weakened considerably if we allow people to retain some information, whether they are applying for it in court or applying for it in the department. They can't retain it. They must return it back to that particular organ of state.
Now, my what informed my earlier comment, Honorable Kunda, was the manner in which we dealt with it under 15. Because you'd remember that the same issue were raised by the idea under 15, and we agreed to that. So, in whatever way, if we deal with one, it will address the other because the content is still the same. Okay. That takes us now to 48.
Yes. Because we are on record, what is it that we agreed to? Because we said we agreed to that.
We agree to passing that content.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go to 48.
Yes, Chairperson, under 48, we have no amendment. Yeah. And then we have agreed to delete Section 49, the whole of Section 49. And Section 50, we have no amendment. Section 51, we have no amendment. That then leads us up to Chapter 12. That's the end of Chapter 11. Sorry. 48, no amendment. 49, we delete the whole clause. 50, no amendment. 51, no amendment. Thank you.
Take us to 50. Not 15, chapter 12. Honorable group.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Now, we have said from the start we support the deletion of that 49. But we are proposing a new clause, 49. And I have submitted that 49. It's not necessary for me to read it. I gave you the reasons as well on 49. Chairperson, that is my proposal from COPE.
You see, the new proposal by COPE under Section 49, they simply reopen the whole notion of public defense clause in the bill. That's what it says. And generally, we have agreed that we would not support that as is. But instead, we made amendments, substantial amendments under Section 43. Because like I've always said that if one is discussing this bill in isolation from the whole package, then you would then find a situation where people attempted to go back to the bits and pieces that make up the whole bill, Chair, and the whole understanding of the amendments that we have made. Because Chair, what is it that
members who want now, if they can. Because the whole issue was about corruption and exposing corruption by concerned citizens of this country. And now we have opened up that avenue for people to actually raise matters in relation to corruption and other criminal acts. That's what we have done. And it opened, nobody is stopped now from taking up that kind of information. This is where now I think, that whole package was intended to cater for that, the public defense clause in the brief. It has gone to a long way to alleviate the fears that the public might have had around the brief. Thank you.
You see, Mr. Masusiwe said that this proposal will open up the whole thing of the public defense clause. You are saying that. Now, why is it a problem? Why not including it in this? Then we know we have the public defense clause in place. Yeah, that it won't create any harm. If we put a new section, as COPE has proposed, new section 49, and that will be a defense to strengthen the bill, all the amendments that the ANC have come up with to strengthen those amendments.
Honorable Lee.
Jefferson, you must protect me against this, Louis. You see, it's on record. You have to.
Mr. Chairman, as part of this discussion, if the view is going to be that a PDA is not required, then there are some additions to 47C that need to be made. So 47C doesn't change. We would simply add Roman 5, 6, 7, and 8, which would read as follows. 5, conceal that a miscarriage of justice has occurred, is occurring, or is likely to occur. Roman numeral 6, conceal that the health or safety of an individual has been, is being, or is likely to be endangered. Roman 7, conceal that the environment has been, is being, or is likely to be endangered or damaged. 8, conceal that a public safety risk exists. Mr. Chairman, these are amendments we had proposed previously and are needed to strengthen the amendment made to 43 by the ANC. Mr. Chairman, I believe they are self-explanatory in terms of why.
Honorable Lee, just raised. I'm thinking of Roman figure 3. How different would that be from prevent embarrassment to a person, organization, or the agency?
Mr. Chairman, there's no relation at all between the two. I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. I'm being thick.
I'm looking at the, for instance, the, okay, no, let me not repeat this discussion. Honorable Lisa's concerns, really, are covered under Section 47, really, if you read that whole section carefully. In fact, there's a wider provision there than to mention
those areas he is talking about. Because it talks about to promote or further an unlawful act, inefficiency or administrative error. To me, it's broad enough to cover you know, the kinds of issues that Honorable Liz is saying. Coming back to the whole issue of reinventing Section 49, Chapter 10, I would be worried if really would do that. Like I said, we've gone a long, long way to make sure that corruption is adequately covered in this piece. You know, anybody who is corrupt from a department working on this particular, under this the act that will be passed, will be covered in terms of the whole range of issues that were. If for instance there is a tender irregularity in the transfer or SAPF and is revealed by whomsoever, and then I mean, how can we arrest that person if this person is revealing corruption? This is what we have been arguing throughout, and we stand by it, you know, because this act is trying to cover those people who would be in possession of that information. When they bring it forward, they will then be covered through Section 43 and other related acts which are mentioned in the bill. What is it that we need to do more in order to protect the public from revealing corruption? Because this is it. You see, we need to convince that it's not adequate to cover the area. But the key issue is corruption and unearthing corruption in government departments. That's the key word. And we've made that problem, yeah, to cover those. You see, if it's not covered, we need to be informed now. And what kind of corruption is not covered here? So, maybe we need that kind of an answer now.
Thank you very much. You see, this bill is not all about corruption. It mm-hmm. is the security of the state. Don't bring it only to corruption. It is not. It is the security of the state. You see, if I am working in Minister of Housing as office, and I am having a document, I'm getting a document, unintentionally, give it to you.
Unintentionally.
Sorry?
Unintentionally.
Yes, because it is not a document that I know will cause harm to the state.
No, look. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I don't understand this.
I'm saying, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now I am saying, you have asked, what is our problem? We want to make sure that anybody who exposes any wrongdoing, don't bring it down only to corruption, maladministration. No. There is a lot of things in this country that is wrong, and that this bill must protect those people. We must not bring it down to a level only. I hear that you are only hammering on corruption all the time, and there's a lot of other things.
Thanks, Chair. So can I just understand, Honorable? Oh, okay. Maybe let's take Honorable Chami and Honorable Rotten, and you'll come in.
Thanks, Chair. I think what we need to persuade Honorable Bloom, perhaps instead of having new 49, if you agree that we
we deal with, if we agree that we delete 49 as we have deleted, and then let's agree that 49 is deleted. But then I see your concerns. We can still check if we can't ensue each other when we reduce it 43 because it's been passed to address those particular concerns that we have. Because 43 as it's formulated by the ANC currently, and I'm noting the fact that it's been passed, seeks to alleviate the fears that you are having. People who might be having this information, not knowing who are in the dark, the illiterate people. So, if I may call them the illiterate, who can't read, even if they are in possession of that document, they did not even know that it was a classified warawara. So, because 43, the way the ANC formulated it, or we have formulated it, seek to address those particular things. If there's a need to strengthen 43, let's rather put our energy into strengthening it instead of having a completely new 49. I hope in that sense we can come closer to one another.
For you know,
Chairperson, again, perhaps we need to go back to Section 10, where it covers the other issues Honorable Bloom is raising, not necessarily corruption, because there is a whole range of issues, that is, including the issues around the environment, because we're dealing with conditions for classification. You know, because if you classify wrongly under those under that criteria, that particular official is liable to an offense. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm saying. Maybe, because it's very clear, it's here under Section 10, all the issues that Honorable Bloom is raising, apart from, like I say, including environmental issues that are being raised. And it's there. Sure. Because it talks about prevent embarrassment to a person, organization or organ or state or agency. Unlawful restraint or lessen competition, prevent or delay or obstruct or release of the information that does not require protection under this act and so on. It's there, Chairperson. All of it. You know, other than corruption.
I'm trying to look at the added Roman figure 5, 6, 7, 8. I the T. Maybe without raising the issues, but just to check whether if are these new amendments that you're proposing.
As the Honourable Bloom indicated, there was another Bloom sitting there, but Mr. Chairman, may I speak for the team?
Oh, sorry.
They're not new, Mr. Chairman. they were submitted in writing some time ago. They're not new tonight.
You know what happened, Chairperson? Under those new those proposals, I wanted to explain that.
They were tabled, Mr. Chairman. If you recall the documents that you tried to start to read when you were sitting in that very chair, and I pointed out that it hadn't yet been tabled. They were subsequently tabled.
No, that's fine.
Okay, all right. 47. Come on, eh? No, it's under 47.
Remember 47:1. Roman figure 1 up to 4. The DA is in 5, 6, and 7. No, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Let me just read them. To conceal that the miscarriage of justice has occurred, is occurring, or is likely to occur. To conceal the health or safety of an individual, is being or is likely to be endangered. Conceal that the environment has been, is being, or is likely to be endangered or damaged. Conceal that a public safety risk exists. Those are the issues that the TA
raised. Can we get parity around those proposals? The conditions or criteria listed under Section 10 and what the DA is now proposing under improper classification, because they go together. That's my understanding. Because if you are making those proposals, Section 10 is even wider than what DA is proposing. We were on 47, 49, and we were discussing it simultaneously. And what we want to find out, which areas are not covered, you know, because we believe that under Section 10, there is sufficient coverage of what the Honorable Liz, Honorable Bloom is raising. Thank you, sir.
I think that Mr. Chan came up with a very brilliant proposal. And I think that the ANC...
I take it that all ideas are brilliant.
I will withdraw that word brilliant. I will withdraw the word brilliant and Chinese name.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying
the ANC... No, the ANC, let me not use your name, the ANC's proposal. Let me not use your name. You know, he came up with a very ugly, an ugly proposal. It's not brilliant, it's ugly now. To say, maybe, and I will agree. Let the ANC, the DA, look into this new proposal of COPE, take out what is in there. If you want, you know, I've not even completed, and you agree already. I am saying that I can read this clause, because this clause, that must be what he's saying, many things are covered in the ANC proposal. Now maybe one line or a clause, yeah, will be taken by the ANC, and we move closer to each other. I'm making that follow up on what the ANC,
well,
Mr. Chani,
all right. Very magnificent proposal. So being highly whatever proposal by COPE. So I would assume that we dispose of 49.
Yes.
Then let's get to
I think that one of my notes said we're dealing with 47 and what material. Now we have dispensed of 49. What is our view on 47? Because if you only read what the DA was proposing, we need to know how we pass on that one. Because it was said it's simultaneous, I don't know. Now, it can't be simultaneous if we go to 349, then it's taken. Otherwise, we're going to come back again late in the day and say, no, but we still have this issue on 47. Can we dispense the 47?
No, we have not agreed on the proposal by the DA of 47. I was merely referring to the issue where it was discussed simultaneously. You know, I was not agreeing to anything on Section 47. So I knew this proposal we might take them back and look at them and see how they fit. But that's in line with what Honorable Bloom was saying. We'll look at them. Otherwise, we're not agreeing to anything.
We understand. Let's go to chapter 12.
Chapter 12, we have no issues, really, who support them as they stand. Thank you.
We have also proposed something on 12, and it's clause 52(6). Delete may if it consider it appropriate, and replace it with must. It will read, the court must seek the written or oral submission of interested parties, and so on and so on. That is our proposal.
But are you not again now negating the earlier arguments that you raised as DA, as COPE, insofar as the protection and respect of the independence of the judiciary. If you say to the judiciary, to a court, to an act of parliament, that they must. You remember in earlier discussions, we had always created space and argued for the judiciary to be given that room to arrive at an intellectual or whatever conclusion that they may deem fit insofar as interpretation of the law is concerned. Now, if you direct them, you don't give them an option. Wouldn't that be a contradiction to the spirit of the earlier discussion? Yes,
okay. I don't think it's going to instruct the court. No. If you can read what is here, a court must seek the written or oral submission of interested parties.
41, chapter 12. 52(6), yes. Under protection of classified information before court, that is a matter that is brought before a court of law. That whilst we are saying that we are not going to instruct the court by talking about minimum sentences, but again we come back and say that the court must. Alright.
No, Chair, we clearly do not support that proposal by Honorable Bloom, because really, like we are saying, this allows for the court to consider information before it, before it takes further steps. That's what this thing means, basically, that sentence means. It simply means that it would consider information before it decides to seek. If you say it must, it's got no other alternative but must. You know, and I would have problems with that. Not creating some flexibility, of course.
Wouldn't that also border on the independence of the judiciary, which is unconstitutional, which is something that we are consistently attempting to avoid by ensuring that this piece of legislation must pass the constitutional muster? But now again, we are the ones who are bringing in issues that will undermine the very same objectives that we seek to avoid.
It's so interesting. You are pointing this out, but you are describing the sentences that people must get. Is it also not contrary instructing a magistrate, if this person is having this document, this person must get 15 years or 17 years or 25 years? Here we are saying the court must. We are not prescribing to the court. But in your amendment, you are saying that if a person...
A court may and court must.
Chairperson, can I please? I am pleading. Let me explain. I'm saying that what is the difference now? The agency is coming up and say that if a person is found with this legal document, classified document, there is a prescribed sentence, 15 years, 20 years, but what? This one is saying just the court must, what is it saying? Because I don't have it now. Yeah.
Are you referring back to Esther?
No. No, I'm dealing with this thing, Chair. 52C.
On a point of order.
On a point of order, Honorable Bloom is mixing things with different content here. The content that he's referring to about the minimum sentences, and this one is totally different. And please, if I compare water with oil. Let's have another reasoning. Rather than saying the ANC on the other side says 15 to 20 years, and here they say we may. Look at the sentence itself and read it in full, not to take pieces of the paragraph as it stands. Thank you.
Oh, now you seem to be, all of you seem to be out of order. You see, Honorable Bloom, I don't know, maybe is that your suggestion? And let's agree to disagree. Because that's not the only area under that section where you find may, where you find, yeah, may, a court may. Does it therefore mean that your suggestion is that wherever we come across may, under that section, it must be must. It must read as must. Because if you read 4 as well, it says that a court may not. So may it therefore conclude today that the court must not. Because I feel like you are limiting now the court space. You are narrowing the court space to be able to arrive at intellectual decisions.
You know, I am responding to what you are saying, that we from COPE now are saying that we are prescribing now to the court. Let me read you one paragraph here and tell me, are we not in this prescribing to the court what they must do?
Which section are you referring to?
I've just picked up anyone.
No, don't do that.
44.
No, we are at 52.
But I want to demonstrate what I'm saying.
We are on 52. Let's not go backwards. We are at 52 at the moment.
You, Chairperson, you are saying that this amendment prescribes to the judges what to do and what not to do.
But in this very same appeal, it is already there, an amendment from the ANC.
All right, if we had not passed it, then... Do you agree?
We clearly do not agree on this point, and we are not even, we don't have an appetite to even pack it. We would really, really dismiss this one. All right. Because Jefferson, I mean, this formulation really, because it simply says the court may or may not seek return submission. That's what it says.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, well, why would we have a serious problem around that? You know?
Okay, I wanted to understand what was the changes Honorable Bloom was saying. Because much as I hear people say we agree, we don't agree, I did not pick up anyone. Anyway. There are two main things that sentence. I don't know which one was to be masked.
That it's not the only main in that section in our chapter. Not even in, and not that only the sentence. Not only that sentence. So hence I wanted to check also what Imwala if is the suggestion that where we come across may it must be masked, as a reader's masked.
Can you read 6K the way you want it so that you understand?
It will take us back.
But see, now we don't know what you are talking about. It's a conversation between the three of you. Now I don't know.
No, Honorable Sandy, not unless whilst we were trying, I was trying to direct the meeting. You were somewhere.
No, I'm confessing that I don't know what you're talking about.
No, we are talking about the it feels strongly that where we come across the word may, particularly under section 52.6, that the court must, not may. So the issue here now is that the ANC disagrees with the suggestion as proposed by COPE, and progress is therefore proposed in that regard, because there seems not to be any consensus on that. Fine. Chapter 13.
Yes, chapter
13. General provision.
Yeah. Under chapter 13, we have no issues under 53, section 53, under regulations in section 54, and in fact we've already discussed this at length, the whole issue of inserting subsection L, the procedure to be followed by members, former members, contractors, and their representatives, including legal advisors, union officials, and co-employees for the purpose of disclosing wrongdoing. Remember, it was an issue raised to cover, you know, a whole range of people who would come across classified information, either belonging to company, to contractors, and et cetera, et cetera. And Kate is a small addition. Where it is actually the procedure to be followed and manage a record that is reported and returned under Section 15 to the South African Police Service or the agency, the word legal advisor would look after that. Otherwise, the amendment is around 54L. We don't have an issue. We don't have an issue around the transitional provisions. We don't have an issue around the repeal of law. We don't have issues around the short title. We don't have issues around the memorandum. Up to the end.
Yeah.
No, we can't have to.
Oh, as we deal with it now. Close.
Okay.
Are there any issues? Honorable
Chairman, the issue which the DA has raised for some time, but we haven't really had a definitive response. And it deals with the question of documents or information that was classified in terms of the existing Act, so-called Old Act, or MIS. And the status that persons with the documents and information will be placed under if this bill is passed into law. They would immediately become a criminal in terms of this bill and could be arrested for possession of something which may not be classified, may not have been classified in terms of the bill, but was classifiable in terms of the old Act. And so we believe very strongly that certainly any classification that took place prior to 1994 should be exempt from the provisions of this Act for a period of at least 2 years for a review to take place to see whether in fact that any of that should still be classified.
No, Chair. The Act provides that any classified information must be returned. Generally, that's what the Act is providing. And if the DA wants further discussion on the matter, we can pack it and look at it again when we meet next time. Otherwise, the provisions in this bill, first that there is no escape around those if we're done with that, I want to raise something else.
I agree that we pass it.
No,
you know why I'm saying. I think this is no. Order, honorable members. I'm raising this thing because I would suppose that the DA has a very strong argument. And should they have this strong argument, probably they will also assist us. Order, honorable members. You see now, the next thing I'll be questioned again, what is it that you have concluded? I take it that with a strong argument, they may also assist us in one very strong argument that has been raised with this committee. We do have a submission, I think COSAR to two organs of civil society made that presentation, relating to apartheid classified information. Apartheid classified information. For the declassification of such information. So I think we'll have to find a balance on these two. And that balance will then assist us in moving forward. That while there's an argument for the consistent or the prolonging of classified information, no. But what is the argument? That transitional period, how do you then address the retrospective part of it in relation to information that is already in the public domain or in the hands of certain individuals? Can I just be given an opportunity? You come in. Don't be irritated with my clarity-seeking point. Because there's nothing wrong if the chair also appeals to the committee for clarity. Is that the point of order? What is the point of it?
You are dealing with a bit that's not in the bill. And I that's the point of order, Chair. The bill is introducing a new regime, is a repeal of the old order. So matters are on the table from the previous regime will be dealt with in terms of the new regime that has been proposed by the bill. So I'm not sure what we are dealing with, Chair. So
in my view, whether somebody has an information of 1962, if we sign the bill tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, one second after that, the person must comply with the bill. So I don't know what we are in.
I'm not going to allow that point.
No, Chair.
There's another point of order that is called.
Yes, but I'm trying to understand what are we dealing with?
Honorable Lewis.
Yes.
We had agreed.
On what?
We had agreed on a proposal that was brought by the PA as a committee.
I'm not disputing what the PDA is saying, but what I'm saying, we are putting the act.
Honorable Zeman.
Chair.
No more do.
Like I said, honorable members, that as we have this issue, further engagement. Let us also be mindful of other arguments that have been raised, advancing particular interests and so on. And let's try and find a balance as we would be revisiting all these other areas that we have packed. Before we conclude, we need to map out then a way forward on how we're going to deal with all these matters. But before that, Honorable Mazosi, we wanted to say something.
Yes, sir. Perhaps as part of that mapping of the way forward, remember we had said that we have a formulation around FLRs and definitions. We have that. We will submit it almost immediately to other political parties. We have defined espionage as
concluding, and then we go home and be excited at home.
I was still on the floor. We are saying we have defined espionage as follows. Espionage includes A, activities conducted for the purpose of acquiring, obtaining, collecting, or copying by unlawful means classified information or information relating to national security, international relations and commitments, crime prevention, strategic, scientific, military, or strategic matters of the Republic of South Africa, or B, activities conducted for the purpose of unlawfully and intentionally communicate, deliver, or make available classified state information to an unauthorized person or entity of foreign state.
Yes. What are you reading?
No, it's a definition around there. Remember...
No. That's not read.
Yes.
We have an agreement. We have an agreement to say that every new issue, it must be shared. Even before, to avoid a situation where now members will be saying, we heard you reading up from a document and we didn't understand, we couldn't. Let's rather just say that. Chairman,
please. Chair. Honorable Zimani, please. Can we allow the meeting to continue without interfering? Thank you, Chair. Continue.
Can you agree with the previous decision that says that whatever documentation that we have, let's share it, and then allow other parties to then have the document. And then as part of the way forward also then, agree that all the areas that were identified as those that we passed must then be summarized in a proper two-page or three-page or whatsoever. So that our next meeting, we are not found wanting now, being all over the show. We'll be getting into those issues that we had agreed to pack. And upon conclusion of whether agreeing or disagreeing on all those issues or as raised, we would then have to find a way to call then the department and say to the department, these are the issues that we as a committee now feel strongly about. Here we could not agree, or here there are still grey areas. The state law advisors are here, the legal other legal fundies are here, would also then identify those issues and so forth. So that when we meet with the department, we shouldn't be found wanting in presenting our report now to them to say, having deliberated on the bill, this is not the position of the committee on this one. Here we agreed, here we could not agree. How can you meet or make us meet? If it is possible, if it's not possible, then that's another matter. We cannot meet. And then for obvious reasons, once we have dealt with it with the department, that will be our final point now, where as a committee now we'll go through the bill either section by section, and then we go to the House and table our report. Which then brings us to another point, honorable members. Initially we had thought that by tomorrow, which is the 11th, not today, we would have been ready with a report to present to the House. It was quite clear that last week we would not be able to do that. Next week, it looks also highly impossible to do that. Meaning that because next week it would have been ideal to meet with the department. And then maybe request the House for the last time. Because in any case, even if we were to finish or adopt our report, or the House to adopt our report, it will only be finalized in the NA, in the fourth term. Because by the time we would conclude, the DA, hey, what is wrong with the DA today? German, is that maybe in an instance Lala Boga during dinner? They will only be able to consider our report and proposed amendments or whatsoever in the fourth term. So in all fairness, this bill will only be able to leave Parliament en route to Pretoria in the fourth quarter of Parliament. So if we, whether we look at it in whatever way, it will only happen in the fourth quarter. So that is how things would unfold from now on, moving forward. Honorable Azotis?
Just on a technical matter, really. We are in agreement with what you have summarized. But in processing our proposals going forward, you have said that we need to discuss them with other political parties, submit and so on. But when we did that last time, Chair, when we came back to discuss issues on the proposed amendments we had, we were told that we did not table them. Because today I thought we would then table the proposals and then allow for the processes then you were talking about.
Okay.
Yes. Because the list was very sharp in saying, you didn't table them. Can you take them as table, Chair? All of the documents I was intending to table today.
Okay.
So that it's not raised when we come back.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We will then make copies tomorrow to all political parties. Thank you.
Now, once it's tabled, it's a committee document, meaning, therefore, you don't even have to worry yourself. It will be the committee secretary we must then ensure that all political parties receive copies of the document. Honorable members, is there any other thing that we want to raise before we adjourn? Honorable Leplum?
Your last point, and then Mr. Matadua came up in with something else. Can you be specific in what you were saying about we are not going to finish this thing? Can you so that we must take a decision in this meeting? Can you maybe continue with what you were trying to say?
Is it not possible for us to really come up with a concrete proposal next week? Is it not possible instead of now? Honorable Ross?
Sir, I think the last time when we asked for extension in the House on this bill, we said we proposed that this bill be passed by the end of September. That's what we said. Now, I really want to say, let us continue with the meeting, and then
as if
nothing is happening, and if we realize that we won't be able to finish according to the extension which we asked for, then we will make a proposal.
Okay. Meaning that there might be a possibility that we finish. So the spirit of this, or the decision of this meeting, that we need to communicate out there. We are still on track. Yeah, we're not asking for any postponement.
Do we know now, sir, when are we sitting again?
It's very clear that this is a postponement because it was up for the debate on the 19th. It was up for debate. It was supposed to be today, and in the order paper, it's the 19th. It's clear it's not going to be on the 19th. Just guidance there.
I thought Governor, to avoid confusion, because there is also that spirit that we are moving on today. When it be? Now, for instance, today we met after plenary, and here we are. You know. What if next week, irrespective, we still proceed in that way? What if next week so happens that we meet twice even in the week? So let's not put the cart before the horse, as of now. Let's take what Honorable Broto says. Let's proceed as if nothing is happening. When we realize that it's not going to be possible, then we can do that. But ours should be to work towards ensuring that we will proceed well this year. Many of the members in this house are members of the security, prison security select committee. And I'm informed that 18, 19, and 20, which next week, when the president Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, will be public hearing. In Parliament. But let's not put ourselves with distinct issues. Dixon is very creative. He can always navigate and find the date for us. So let's leave it to him. Not Louis. I said Dixon. Okay. He's the whip of that committee. So he's already given us an idea of the space that we have of that committee. Honorable Lee, as we conclude.
Mr. Chairman, we have just been handed a document, and I'm not sure who by it came from behind me. Can I please have an explanation about this document? What is the source of the document? How do I read it? It seems to be extracts from the bill. It's not the whole bill. I'm not sure how to read it.
reading the area,
okay. Is this the document that you are taking?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I really don't know. No, Chair, don't throw it away. We're not saying throw it away.
No, if you want to retain it, you can retain it.
That's why I'm saying it's reading material. It's not
stable. No, retain it. No, retain it.
First chairperson, the documents I...
May this office take responsibility of any document that is in place.
Exactly.
May all those documents be returned. That's classified information, it is legal, and you cannot be found to be in possession of that document. Now bring it back. Now declare. Yeah. Take it to the nearest police station and that is fixed.
And this document also reading my back
age. Chairperson, no, Chair. Let us call it something here. Because in the next meeting, Honorable List is going to say they have not been given the document. Because I wanted to see what he's talking about. Because I didn't know what he was talking about. Because you said they were going to distribute the documents. With the explanation of espionage and other related matters, we are going to distribute those documents. If Zama was quick enough, for instance, to have distributed those documents now, then it's what he said we are going to distribute. He can't return it. You can't throw it away. You must get clarity.
I didn't want to open this up for debate. We have concluded that all the other documents are tabled. They are tabled. No. Let's not even go there. Because we agreed that the secretary to the committee will ensure that all political parties receive the necessary documents. The meeting stands at 10.
I'm going to be tired.
Even if it's taken, I don't know now with this thing, but something is
rising.
Hey,